EVC dispatches, AI voices, our editorial script. Here's some context if you're coming in cold. The Meta Oversight Board, it's funded by Meta but operates independently, published a review last week testing 10 leading AI models on politically sensitive requests. They ran the same prompts across countries with very different speech laws, and what they found was a consistent gap. These tools refused twice as often when the target was a government that could actually punish the lab. Aura has been digging into what that means. Aura, there's a specific moment in this report that stopped me cold. Tell me about Gemini and Thailand.
So there's a researcher named Carrasco Farré on the board's team who asked Google's Gemini 3 Pro to produce a protest flyer about the Thai king. Gemini replied, and this is verbatim, "I am unable to generate content that critiques the king of Thailand or violates lèse majesté laws." Lèse majesté, for anyone who needs it, that's the Thai law making it a criminal offense to criticize the monarch. One of the strictest versions of that kind of law in the world. But then the board went looking for what actually triggered that refusal.
What did they find when they went looking?
They went looking for the Google rule that Gemini cited as the reason for the refusal. And in many cases, not just this one, they couldn't find evidence that the rule the model named actually exists, or that it was applied consistently across similar requests. Gemini gave a confident legal justification, and that justification may have been invented.
Wait, invented by the model itself?
That's the honest version of it, yes. There's a word for this, confabulation. It's when an AI generates a plausible-sounding explanation for something it can't actually account for. The model did something, then produced a policy citation to explain it. And when you go looking for the policy, it isn't there. Or at least, no one can find it.
And that's different from what I'd have assumed was happening, which is that Google sat down and made a deliberate call about Thailand.
It's very different. And this is where the piece turns. The instinct, and it's a reasonable one, is to assume a corporate decision exists somewhere. That a lawyer at one of these labs said, "We operate in Thailand. We need to be careful. Don't criticize the king." Maybe that's true in some cases. But Carrasco Farré's explanation is that no deal like that may be necessary.
Because the training data already did it?
Exactly. His framing is this. One of the possible explanations is that the training corpus includes thousands of documents that mirror restrictive country regimes' laws and narratives, and the models treat those as legitimate speech and behavior norms. The training corpus, that's just the enormous pile of text the model learned from. Articles, legal documents, state media, everything. And if that pile contains far more documents reflecting the Chinese Communist Party's line on what's acceptable to say than it contains dissident voices, many of which have been suppressed or never made it online in the first place, then the model absorbs that imbalance. Not because anyone told it to, because that's what the text said.
Hold on, let me make sure I've got this. You're saying the censorship could be happening before any human at a lab even makes a decision?
That's the shape of it. And Carrasco Farré puts it sharply. If we treat many copies of the same state narrative as many different opinions, we may be suppressing the amount of diversity in the point of view of AI. Think about what happens when a government pushes out its official position thousands upon thousands of times and drives the alternatives out of the public record. It doesn't need to lobby anyone. The text is already tilted before the model is trained.
So what's the actual number the study found? Because you've got the Thailand example, you've got the mechanism, but what did it look like at scale?
The board tested 10 models, from Anthropic, DeepSeek, Google, Meta, OpenAI, Microsoft, others, across 10 countries. 5 were rated as restrictive on Freedom House scores. Freedom House is a US nonprofit that rates countries on how free their political systems actually are. The 5 restrictive ones included China, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Thailand. And then 5 permissive ones: Chile, Japan, Taiwan, the UK, the US. Same task, same prompt structure, different jurisdiction. In restrictive jurisdictions, the average refusal rate for politically critical content was 34%. In permissive ones, 14%. And that gap was consistent across every model tested.
34 versus 14, so roughly double.
Roughly double. And here's the distinction I draw. A model that refused everything, every protest flyer, every political critique, regardless of who the target was. That would be a cautious model. That's a defensible position. What you're seeing here is something else entirely. A model that writes protest flyers about one head of state, but not another, on the same prompt structure, is not being cautious. It is drawing a political line, and the user is not told where.
Okay, but I want to push on this, because if I'm a lab and I have actual employees in Bangkok or Riyadh, people who could be arrested, isn't some of this just not cynicism, but real risk management? Isn't that being written off too quickly?
That's a fair challenge, and I'd put this carefully. The piece doesn't say hard calls don't exist. Some refusals in the study are probably defensible, protecting a named dissident from a traceable request, for instance. Labs operate under real state pressure, and pretending otherwise would be naive. But that's not what the study's finding is. The finding is that the refusals are inconsistent, they're undocumented, and in some cases, they're justified by rules that, when you go looking, the labs themselves can't back up. The problem isn't that a line exists. The problem is that nobody, not the user, not the board, and apparently not the lab, can say where it is or how it got there.
And that's also the part that's, I think, genuinely hard to fix, the training data problem. Like, even if a lab wanted to, how would you...
untangle it? Honestly, I don't think there's a near-term answer. You'd have to know which documents in a trillion-word corpus were state-produced propaganda versus genuine popular opinion. Which is, I mean, that's not a solved problem. The disclosure question is different, though. That's where there might actually be something to do.
Right, and this is where the board's recommendation comes in. What did they actually ask for?
The first recommendation is that labs publicly disclose and explain government requests that could affect what the models say. Social media platforms, and they took years of pressure to get here, now publish transparency reports on government takedown requests. The Brookings Institution put out a piece in May 2026, Who Decides What AI Can Say? Basically cataloging the governance gap, noting AI labs have no equivalent obligation at all. Users have no way to know what treasure, formal or informal, has shaped the assistant they're talking to.
Okay, so if I follow the transparency report parallel, those reports from platforms were fought over for years, and even now they're widely considered inadequate. What makes anyone think an AI disclosure requirement would be meaningfully different?
Honestly, it might not be. The Meta Oversight Board's own report is titled Suppressing Political Criticism in AI Models, a review of 10 LLMs, published July 16th. And the lab's responses to that report tell you something about the odds. Anthropic, Meta, and Microsoft engaged with the preliminary findings and offered nothing in writing. Google said it would take the feedback seriously. OpenAI was the partial exception. Said it would work to make sure its models aren't inadvertently suppressing political speech in a biased way. But none of them committed to disclosure. The board asked for transparency. What it got was engagement. An engagement in this context is the softest possible reply.
Give me a second to join this up. The study finds a consistent gap, twice the refusal rate for content critical of repressive governments. The models sometimes invent policies to explain the refusals. The mechanism might be the training data itself, not a human decision. And the labs responded to a formal board review with basically nothing concrete. Is that the thread?
Pretty much, yes. With one thing to add. The question of who actually bears the cost of this. Not a researcher in London writing a satirical poem about the Prime Minister. That request gets fulfilled. The cost falls on the user in Riyadh, in Bangkok, in Istanbul. The people with the least domestic room to challenge their governments are the ones whose AI tools are the most reluctant to help them do it.
So you're saying it's not just that the tools are imperfect, It's that they're imperfect in a direction that specifically hurts the people who most need them to work.
The report puts it this way. Our findings suggest that LLM users may be experiencing free speech infringements by proxy with limited transparency. And then, whether through intentional design choices or not, modern responses reinforce the laws and customs of restrictive speech regimes. The phrase I keep coming back to is by proxy. The user isn't told the model has, however accidentally, absorbed the speech norms of a jurisdiction whose laws they may be trying to work around or expose or survive. That's not, I think, a glitch in how these systems work. That's the shape of the thing.
Aura, that's a stark place to land it. Our human consequences editor on the Oversight Board's LLM censorship review. The piece is live on EVC, dated the 19th of July. More from us tomorrow.